A couple of weeks ago, a co-worker of Renee's, who's going back to school to get her college degree, is taking a religion class. She's going to Montreat, and as most Christian colleges require a couple of basic religion classes, she's taking her religion class, and she had asked Renee if it was all right if she asked me a question or two in regards to one of her assignments, if I'd be willing to do that. And Renee said, yeah, go ahead. He'll be glad to do it, and which I was. Got the email, you know, that she was interested in what I thought and my opinion. Felt pretty good about myself. You know, here I am, the resident theologian in the area, you know, being asked my opinion on such weighty matters and, you know, consulted about higher education material, you know, like that. Felt pretty good about it. That lasted just about as long as it took me to read the next sentence, which said that she had to ask five people to respond to two questions, you know. I just happened to be one of those five people. I wasn't special at all. And then to top it off, I got the two questions. The two questions were, one, who was Jesus? And two, what did he come for? Now, I don't know if y'all realize it or not, but there have been theologians, real theologians and scholars, answering those questions for 2,000 years, and they've filled up library after library after library with volume after volume answering or attempting to answer those two questions. How could I possibly answer these questions in just a few sentences? I did manage to humbly, truly humbly, answer her questions. However, I just couldn't seem to, in the last couple of weeks, get those questions out of my mind. And I realized that this time of year, Advent, for those of you that are new to the Methodist Church, and you may not be familiar with that term, Advent, but it's simply a season of the year, the four Sundays preceding Christmas, in which the church has designated as a time to prepare for the celebration of Christmas, the coming of the Christ child. But it's not just to celebrate, to prepare for celebrating the Christmas season and the coming of Christ as an infant into this world, but it's also a time to anticipate and look forward to and prepare for the return of Christ as King, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. When we prepare to celebrate Jesus' birth and also anticipate His return, it's the perfect time to reflect upon these very questions as we ask them in our own lives. During Advent, I want to answer the question, who is Jesus and what did He come for? And I want to answer it by looking at four positions that Jesus holds in relation to each one of us as individuals, in relation to us as a church, to the whole church, and to the world, to all creation in general. So, who was Jesus? For me, first of all, when I read that question, I had to rephrase it just a little bit. It's not just who was Jesus, it's who is Jesus. Because for me, Jesus was not just a historical figure, not just someone who was born, who lived, breathed, ate, walked, talked, laughed, cried, and shared with other human beings at a point, particular point in time on the scale of time, but that He is today still part of this world, and He's part of my life as He is for most of you, I'm quite sure. So, I have to rephrase that. Who is Jesus? And the answer to that, the first answer to that, is that He was and is a prophet. Let me read to you Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 21. So He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus was a prophet. Now what does it mean when we say prophet, when we call Jesus a prophet? Well, let's kind of get a little background. First of all, probably when you hear the word prophet, you're thinking Old Testament right away. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you know, all of those great prophets that shared so much information about what God had in store, had in plan, it was His will for His people. We generally think Old Testament when we hear the word prophet. The word literally means one who speaks for another. Literally, prophet means one who speaks for another. In the New Testament sense of the word prophet, very rarely is the word used in the Greek which talks about a prophet which is truly the prophet in the sense that he speaks the unknowable things and then that someone else is translating. When the word prophet comes up in the Greek in the New Testament, it's generally speaking of that one who expounds upon the Word of God. He interprets, expounds upon it. The word literally means one who speaks for another. Now, in the Judeo-Christian tradition, the another that's talked about is assumed to be who? God, right? That the prophet is speaking for God. The prophet is regarded as God's spokesperson, His mouthpiece, His messenger. John Wesley, when he was speaking about the prophetic office of Christ, the prophetic position that Christ held, he said that we find ourselves blind, in the dark, and ignorant. Jesus comes enlightening our minds. Jesus is a prophet revealing the whole will of God. Who was Jesus? He was a prophet. To answer what Jesus came for, the answer is simple. He came to bring the good news of God's grace. The prophetic position of Christ conveys the word and work of God to the world. Christ did this by four things. Jesus came teaching with power and authority. If you go on a little farther in that fourth chapter of Luke to verse 32, you get to the place where it says that He taught unlike the other scribes, unlike the other rabbis, but He spoke with authority and power. Jesus, you see, was not just full of empty words like so many of the religious of that day and time. Jesus' words were filled with power and authority. Do our words have power and authority today when we speak them? Well, it's depending upon what you're speaking about. If you're speaking in the will of God, if you're speaking in the authority of God, if you're speaking scripturally, then yes, they do carry power and authority, I think. That is one of the gifts that is given when we speak God's Word. It is a timeless Word. It transcends people, time, and events. And it is powerful today when it is spoken by you or I as it was in the days when Peter and Paul spoke God's words. Not because it is our word, not because it is my word, but because it is God's word. It carries power and authority. Jesus came so that we would have that power and authority, so we wouldn't be like the rest of the world, empty and without it. Christ also came and calls us through our baptism to that office or that position of prophets, of a prophet, so that we will share His grace and forgiveness with our world. Christ came so that we would be able to share that. We have that calling, that authority, that that commission to go and share it with the world in which we live. We are to share that grace and that forgiveness. Third, Christ conveys to the word and work of God to the world by saving. Christ came to save. It is by Christ and Him alone that we are saved. Christ came to make Christians. The Old Testament prophets, when we look at them and correlate them with the Christ, the prophetic nature of Christ in the New Testament, they too were a type of salvation. Their office, their function was a type of salvation. They came speaking God's Word, and they, if they were listened to, they provided salvation from some calamity that was about to befall the children of Israel. And if you've read your Scriptures, when you read your Scriptures in the Old Testament, you realize that when they failed to listen to these men who were prophets or women who prophesied, they got in trouble. How many times have we failed to listen to good advice and got in trouble? How many of your parents or elders or grandparents were truly prophets in your life that told you, if you go out there and you rip up and down the road, you're going to have a wreck or you're going to get a ticket? They were prophetic. I'm here to tell you, I've seen it, but I've lived it. How many of them have told you not to drink and drive? A lot of them were prophetic. It don't work. Things happen when you do those things. You know, talking about this, it makes me think about something you've probably been talking about yourself for a few days. I think about the situation, or is it in New York at the Walmart? And the people lined up waiting for the doors to open to get in to buy their cheap trinkets or whatever it was, the electronics that were going on sale. I'm going to be a prophet this morning and tell you that electronics or toys in Walmart are not worth the life of a human being. A human being's life was lost because people were not focused upon the right things. And folks, let me tell you, if your focus this Christmas is upon the goods and wares and getting the best deal this Christmas, then I'm going to be prophetic to you and tell you that you're missing something wonderful. People today who speak the Word of God are avenues for our own salvation. They give us advice and they help us from landing in trouble situations that we could have avoided. How much trouble would you and I have avoided over the years if we would have just listened to God's Word when it was spoken to us? Fourth, Christ came calling a group of people, the church, to fulfill its mission in the world. And what is the mission of the church? It is to make disciples. The church can accomplish this only when Jesus is present in it. What does all this mean then? It means that Jesus came not with simple words, but with action to back them up. Jesus came to give meaning and purpose to each of our lives. What then must we do as a church and as individuals to exercise our prophetic calling in Christ? What we need to do, what we must do, is continue to, first of all, recommit ourselves to the Master. The only way to stay connected to Jesus is constantly reaffirming that commitment to Him. Because as soon as you forget about that commitment you've made to Him, you're going to find yourself on the wayward path in one direction or another. It's the same as just like with a husband and a wife. If you don't continually remember that commitment that spouses have made to each other, if they don't continue to remember that, they can be distracted so easily. It is the same way with us. If we want to, as a church and as individuals, to be the prophets in this world, and folks, you are called to be that prophet in the world. in a darkened world, in a world that seems hopeless and full of despair, you are called to share the good news and to be God's voice in this wilderness. We need to recommit ourselves to the Master. Second, we need to study the Scriptures. Practice some Scripture memorization. And I'm going to tell you what, I am probably the worst person in here as far as Scripture memorization. It's just not something that comes easy to me. I couldn't remember stuff when I was in school as far as just the exact memorization. I can paraphrase tons of Scripture to you. But as far as quoting Scripture and being able to recite it word for word, it's just, I can't do it. I'm going to try with these kids to learn these verses I give them. So when they come up and say to me their verses, I don't want to have to go to my Bible to check up on them, see if they're right. So I'm going to practice that with them. I encourage you to place God's Word in your heart where it can never be taken away from you. Study the Scriptures. Study them, not just memorizing, but seeking God and understanding what He's saying and speaking to you about with them. Seek communion, third. Seek communion with Him in prayer and strive for a life of following and obedience to His will. What must we do to exercise that prophetic calling? Recommit, study the Scripture, and be in constant communion with the Father through prayer and through our good works. Who was Jesus? He was a prophet. What did He come for? He came so that God's precious word of forgiveness and grace could be shared with the world. What are you doing this Advent season to prepare for the coming of Christ, for the celebration of His birth? What are you doing to get ready and be ready for His return? May Christ come to each of your hearts and your lives this Advent. Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning that You came and that You gave us that promise of Your return. We anxiously and eagerly await that, Lord. In the meantime, Lord, while we wait for You, may we be Your voice in the wilderness that is today. May we be prophetic voices that speak of Your grace and Your love. May You bless us that we might be a lamp that people are drawn to You. Lord, we thank You this morning. We love You and honor You with all that we are. In Jesus' precious name, amen.